Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak.
Bevy of NFL teams cut loose a squadron of talented players. The Cardinals cut a large check to their now backup quarterback, and we are back from cutting a rug, parting it up, and drafting some monster teams in Kentucky. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this August 31st episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, presented by MyFFPC.com and Miller64, right here on Blog Talk Radio, live from the Carl's Jr. Studios. I'm your host, Eric Balkman, and my co-host is the constantly on the roster bubble, Dave Gerzak. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll talk to you about last-minute adjustments to your rankings before Vegas. We'll unveil a brand-new segment from our quasi-producer, GSF Ron, and we'll talk to one of the most accomplished high-stakes fantasy football players, Mike Santos. Plus, we'll answer all of your emails before we let Scott Atkins, Mike Trent, come on at the top of the hour for Red versus Blue. Dave, made it back from Kentucky. Almost none the worse for wear.
I'm surprised you made it back.
I can't say none the worse for wear because we did undergo some worse for wear.
There was some wear.
There was. I was a little nervous when that night we saw Jason Kahn and the Shaker Heights crew from outside of Cleveland. When we saw them at the sports bar, I thought things were going to get a little crazy that night. And they did, but we weren't around to see most of it.
Oh, yeah. I know. That was a little bit of an issue there.
It was exciting for them and fun to relive for us the next day. Shout out to the chat room right now. Feel free to post any questions you might have in there. However, if you want to connect. Sorry about that, technical difficulties. If you want to connect with us on Twitter, you can do so at HSFF Hour or just add the HSFF hashtag to your tweets this evening. You can post on our Facebook page at facebook.com/thehighstakesfantasyfootballhour2. If you want to chime in and talk with us, give us a call at 347-426-3682. That's 347-426-3682. You can also email the show at highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. If you have any questions for us or for Mike Santos, now is the time to send them. This is your last chance. We'll do our best to get to all of the chat room questions, tweets, and emails in our fantasy feedback segment later on in the show. Shout out to The Real Leroy, who is doing the producing again tonight. Fantastic job in the live on I-65 show, as well as the remote show from the Horseshoe Casino in Elizabeth, Indiana last week. It was all good. The 2012 Football Guys Players Championship Draftathon has officially kicked off. It will conduct over 100 drafts in the next 4 days. That's 25 a day, folks. And I got to tell you, it's going to be more than 25 every day. 4 straight days of nonstop drafting with availabilities from 10 a.m. to midnight Eastern time every day. Also, we are down to the final days for guaranteed spots in the 2012 FFPC main event. Once leagues are formed, all owners will get an invite for their particular league or leagues. Another quick reminder of the guaranteed 2012 FFPC main event prize structure. It is currently at $200,000. League prizes are the highest ever for a 12-team high-stakes event at $10,500 per main event league. And the championship round pays all the way down to 30th place. Over $1 million of your prize money is now fully secured in the attorney escrow account for the fifth consecutive season. So there is that, gents. And with that, I want to get started with Fantasy Flash, and I'm going to do it a little bit differently tonight because Dave, myself, Kurt Awe, Leroy Corson, we made the eight-hour jaunt down to Elizabeth, Indiana for the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, which was last week. We got down there, I would say early evening Friday night. Of course, we did the live on I-65 show. I want to thank so many people for you listening, and I know we had some audio issues with that. Hopefully, from what you heard, it was good. It was certainly a lot of fun doing that show. And the show we did during the Dynasty Keeper Draft that was going on at the casino, we were able to broadcast the show from that. I want to thank Farrell Elliott for coming on the show. I also want to thank Lou Tranquilli for calling in. So it was a star-studded weekend this past weekend in Kentucky. Plenty of high-stakes players there. You know, this is my third year going to Kentucky, and this is probably the most high-stakes players I've ever seen there. We had John Rozek was there, Scott Atkins, who, of course, you can listen to at the top of the hour in Red versus Blue. Mike Trent was also there. As I mentioned earlier, Jason Kahn was there. Brad Barger was there. We also had Brad Cruz, Brad Taylor. A lot of Brads were all there. And, of course, Farrell Elliott was also there. Kimra Schlicker was also there. Plenty of Real Leroy. Am I forgetting any other high-stakes players that were there? Justin McCord, of course, the defending Kentucky state championship, was there as well. So a lot of fun. We hit the casino. We hit the Paula Deen Buffet, as two Packers mentioned, three times in one weekend. Real Leroy, did it look like I put on 7 pounds this past weekend?
No, I
did. That's what it was, 7 pounds in one. And I attribute that to the Paula Deen Buffet three times in one weekend, twice in one day. So it was it sure was a fun time. I look forward to it again next week. Next week, we have Vegas coming up, which should be, as far as I can tell, a much better time. And I don't even know how that's possible because I had a blast in Kentucky. But it's going to be insane. So I'm very excited for that. So enough with Kentucky. I want to move on here and talk about the NFL cuts today. If you noticed, not a lot of big-name players got cut. Especially as far as it goes for fantasy, from a fantasy standpoint and for high-stakes fantasy for sure. Probably the biggest name I would say that got drafted in Kentucky was Tim Hightower, who got released today. And I immediately thought this as soon as I saw him cut, and our good friend Lou Tranquilli from BFDFantasyFootball.com put out this email, or this in his email today, that he would not be surprised if Hightower will be brought back after week one when his salary is not guaranteed. I think that is a distinct possibility of happening. So even though the Redskins let him go today, I think if you're smart and you play high-stakes fantasy, you're probably staying away from Redskins running backs anyway, unless you can get one cheap. And Dave, if you drafted Tim Hightower this past weekend in Kentucky or in any FPC drafts or FFPC drafts, you probably paid more than we were willing to pay for a Redskins running back.
Oh, correct. I mean, I didn't draft any Redskins running backs because that way you just get rid of a half round of draft picks, like 5-6 picks.
Is there, at any point in a draft, would you take a Redskins running back if they're out there?
Yeah, I would consider Hugh. I think that he was really, I mean, if Shanahan could get his head out of his rear end, I mean, he'd actually realize he was the best running back on the roster. And I would definitely look at Hugh probably in that. I don't know. I'm not sure where he's going right now. I mean, I would even consider targeting him if I was kind of weak at my third back.
Let's say he slips to like the 11th or 12th round. Would you look at him there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Especially now. I mean,
but
yeah,
he's the only one.
Yeah, I mean, Alfred Morris. I mean, come on.
Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, what is he, some free agent? I mean, I know free agents do come around, but I mean, it's so rare. It's like there's talented players you can get where that guy goes.
Yep, exactly. Another Redskin that got cut, Chris Cooley. Again, not on the fantasy radar, I think, for high-stakes players. That's Fred Davis's job there. Deion Branch, again, and not a guy I think that we're really concerning ourselves with. So many mouths to feed New England. And then a trio of quarterbacks, Brian Hoyer, Seneca Wallace, Mike Kafka. I got to tell you, even if you were drafting the guys in front of these guys, you know, Mike Vick, Brandon Whedon, or Tom Brady, I don't think you were handcuffing any of them with those guys. So NFL cuts day really doesn't matter for high-stakes players.
No, it shouldn't. Not at all.
And this is it, you know, and like this is just going to be, there's no more cuts after this. This is the second round of cuts. Not a lot of big name players got released. So hopefully if you did draft in Kentucky or anywhere else this weekend, you made it through unscathed. Somebody who did not make it through unscathed is Kenny Britt as we move forward on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour here in blogtalkradio.com. Now it's past the top of the hour. Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak talking a little Titans receivers here. Came out today that Kenny Britt is suspended one game from the by the NFL. It's from Jim White of Tennessee and reporting that only one game. And honestly, Dave, you know, we've heard this said over and over again. He already had knee problems anyway. I don't think this really changes his draft stock at all. But for me, I'm liking Kenny Britt a lot more now.
Yeah, I mean, now that you have that certainty instead of a 3-4-game suspension or even something crazy like a longer one, yeah, you can look at Britt, and he was probably going to miss that first week anyway, wasn't he?
Yeah, at least. Right. I mean, he could. I mean, honestly, he could be suspended for game one and miss week two just to rest his knee even more. I mean, I think that's a distinct possibility. So what I've been seeing is Kenny Britt going to teams that go heavy on receivers early are getting Kenny Britt as a number four, which is fantastic. And if you snag a quarterback or a tight end early, or if you snag a couple of running backs and go running back heavy, you can get Kenny Britt as your three. Fantastic value. Dave, I'm going to make this prediction right now. I bet Kenny Britt is on a lot of championship teams this year.
I'm not going to agree with you there.
I mean, the talent is phenomenal. He's got an opportunity.
But, I mean, it's not really a value anymore. Now people are going to start taking him higher. Is you just saying from an earlier draft?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Because these teams have already drafted and got him at a value.
I don't think that Britt's going to be that impact player. I mean, I could see like a Trent Richardson or a Ryan Matthews where he fell. Right. Or possibly like a Julio Jones where he was if he was going in that 3-8, 3-9.
Well, you talk about, yeah, way earlier because now there's no value on him. Trent Richardson.
Maybe there is.
I mean, like, how much value is there in the first round for him?
Well, maybe,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe he goes for 100 and 1,800 yards and 15 touchdowns.
High-stakes players are a shrewd bunch, okay? But even still, I mean, there gets to be a point where, like, Julio Jones goes so far in the first round, he doesn't really have a shot of returning that value. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he does.
I don't know, man. I think that at some point.
So, in other words, are you saying, since you like to ask these stupid loaded questions all the time.
I'll answer a stupid loaded question.
Are you saying that you would think that Julio Jones in the first round is a stupid pick?
I would not say it's a stupid pick. I'm saying.
Here comes the qualifier. This is like something that happened
on ESPN. Do you want me to answer the question?
Oh, go ahead.
I'll answer the question. There is a qualifier for this. No, if you take him at the 11, 12, whatever. He's probably going to be fine. He'll probably return that bet. I'm talking about these people that are like, Julio Jones is the key to my draft, and he's going to keep creeping up, and I guarantee it, there's going to be some FFPC main events out in Vegas where he's going to go. But I'll put five on this right now if we have a way of verifying this. I bet there's at least one draft he goes above Calvin Johnson. He will go before Calvin Johnson at least one draft. And, like, that's not even a question. The real Leroy is in on it.
No, I'm not going to bet that. I could see it happening.
I think it could happen.
It's, you know, with that many drafts, it's a lot of drafts.
Another guy that that's been in the news lately, Jason Witten. He has a lacerated spleen, a spliced up spleen, as they're calling it. he hasn't been cleared for contact yet. I'm betting he's out week one, given they play on a Wednesday. If you draft Jason Witten, are you planning on starting him week two, Dave?
If he's like questionable going into the game, and then they say he's active and he's going to start, yeah, I would start him.
I think like the Sharky.
That's the typical thing that always happens.
Right. The Sharky thing to do right now is take the value on Jason Witten because it's not like a Ryan Matthews injury, which I still stand by. I think he misses 3 weeks and he doesn't come back till week four. Jason Witten is probably, I mean, he's a baller, dude. Not saying Ryan Matthews isn't, but Jason
Witten. Oh, he's not. He got hurt on the first play in preseason.
Ryan Matthews is a baller. Jason Witten is a baller. He's a baller.
I think Ryan Matthews is a panty waist.
He could be a panty waist. That's definitely for sure. But I guess my thing with Jason Witten is, like, I really do believe that this is a one-week injury. Even if he misses the Giants game, he's going to have 10 days. That's almost 2 weeks to recover for week two. I think he'll be back by then.
Yep.
A little nervous that he hasn't been cleared for contact yet. That's like a
that's a job at best.
That was just a very job at best-ish.
Oh, man.
Final point I want to bring up on Fantasy Flash, and then we'll get to our first guest coming up.
Oh, do we have multiple guests?
The other guest was our new mic, the Yeti.
Does it sound good?
It sounds good in chat. It sounds good here, so I think it's really good. By the way, our guest is already saying he was commenting on one draft of Julio going before Calvin. So not that all that idiotic.
You tried to sucker me into that one.
I bring the bizarre on this show. Sometimes it ends up being right. Something that is ended up being right is Ronnie Brown looks to be in line for the bulk of the carries while Ryan Matthews is hurt. This is, once again, from our friend Lou Tranquilli at BFDFantasyFootball.com. And he brings up this point, which I kind of thought of. Ronnie Brown was the number one running back in fantasy football while Cam Cameron was his offensive coordinator in Miami. Of course, Cam Cameron is going to be out in San Diego as the offensive coordinator. Runs the same offensive system. There's hope for Ronnie Brown, says Lou. So I think that that's something we need to keep in mind is that, you know, if you do take Ronnie Brown with Ryan Matthews, you bank on Ryan Matthews being solid when he comes back, you could be looking at like a really good running back production based on those two for an entire season.
Yeah, that's actually an excellent point because when you're the guy who takes Matthews, you have this huge incentive to take Ronnie Brown and start him those first few weeks. However, if you're anyone else and you haven't taken Matthews, what do you care about Ronnie Brown really?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like,
it's really loud in the microphone.
I know,
you say.
I can't exactly in the microphone.
So, I mean, like, he's where does he go? He was still in, like, the 16th, 17th round.
Well, sometimes later. So I mean, some drafts, and not to keep harping on Kentucky, but some drafts in Kentucky, he didn't even go at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we screwed that up there, then we should take
it. I don't know if we screwed it up, because how many times did you, me, Real Leroy, Kurt, how many times did any of us take
Matthews.
Ryan Matthews?
I don't recall.
Zero?
Maybe
Real Leroy,
maybe
did
one?
You take Ryan Matthews all weekend?
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I'm sure Kurt did, because Kurt doesn't like, as you call him, panty waste on his squad.
Yeah.
So I really think, like, when we look at back at our teams, I don't know if that's really a screw-up not taking Ronnie Brown. I think it is a screw-up if you have Ryan Matthews.
Right, and letting
you don't take Ronnie Brown.
Right on.
But, I mean, whatever. If you don't get – if you don't take Ryan Matthews, taking Ronnie Brown for 1 to 3 weeks makes no sense to me.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Fine.
So – there you go. We have our first guest coming up right here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour live on blogtalkradio.com/HSFF. My name is Eric Balkman. He is Dave Gerzak. We are 16 minutes past the top of the hour, and I'll introduce our first guest here. He started playing High Stakes Fantasy Football in 20-odd sips and is the defending back-to-back FFPC Varsity 3K champion. He's also the 2011 FFPC 5K Big Payback champion. He appeared in 4 straight league championship games from 2006 to 2010 in WCOF with 2 league titles. He has 2 league championship appearances in FFPC and won the 2011 FFPC Dynasty League number 1. He has numerous FPC league titles and online titles along with DE titles. He does want to give a shout out to somebody.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm going to let him do it.
Finally.
You know him as Coyote Streakers. We know him as the namesake of the Santos Maneuver here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. He is Mike Santos, and he's live on our show. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
We are doing excellent.
Sounds really good.
Well, why wouldn't he sound good?
No, I mean in our microphone, our headphones.
Oh, in our headphones? Yeah.
And in general, Mike.
The dulcet tones of Coyote Streakers coming in our ears right now.
Right.
Mike, it's so great to have you on the show. We've been planning to have you on. This is sweep week for us, so, like, no pressure on you, but you really got to nail this interview.
Well, I'm hoping not to let you guys down. Have a good interview. And on that shout-out, I can't take all the credit for some of those wins in FPC. My buddy Kurt Kikas and I, we formed a partnership, and we've done pretty well together, so I got to make sure I mention him as well.
Kurt Kikas, big shout-out to him for basically Mike Santos riding his coattails all these years.
Yeah. Hey, Kurt, I'll put my name on this one. How about that?
Exactly.
Well, how about this one? Oh, okay. Yeah, Kurt's like the back-end man over there making
exactly.
All the decisions.
Hey, Mike, besides riding Kurt's coattails, what do you do for a living? And where do you live, actually? Let the listeners in on where you live.
Well, I live in Tulare, California, and I'm a dairy farmer, fourth generation. It's a family business. When you think of California, you probably don't think of farms and dairies, but in Tulare County, it's actually the largest dairy county in the United States. So we're involved with agriculture, and we supply dairy products for you guys. So if you drink milk or eat cheese or any of that kind of stuff, you're probably eating some of the product we produce out this way.
Oh, we actually, here in Wisconsin, we actually do eat cheese and drink milk quite a bit.
Yeah,
Well,
the thing is, Mike, is I just wish, living in Wisconsin, I wish I lived closer to domestic cheese production and dairy production. It's so awful that we have to get it all the way out in California, because by the time it hits Wisconsin, man, I mean, it's not fresh anymore, and it just doesn't taste as good. So
a little rivalry between California and Wisconsin, but that's what we do out here. So I know you guys are familiar with all that, but... anyways, yeah, it's fun having our business out here with our family and stuff. You know, it's been together for 4 generations, and take a lot of pride in working with the family. Really enjoy it.
That's awesome.
So, Mike, let me ask you something. How does a fourth generation dairy farmer get involved with High Stakes Fantasy Football?
Well, I have a little bit of a gambling addiction.
Wow.
I guess you could say my grandpa. He always liked watching sports, and I always, as a young age. Would go over to his house and would watch football games and baseball games, and I started getting really interested in it, and I was always pretty good at math, and like I started putting numbers together, and it just sort of clicked. Like when I started playing fantasy football in high school, it was just a lot of fun, and ever since I started with one league, I just kept growing into more and more leagues each year, and before you know it, I'm probably doing too many, but I just really enjoy it, and I've always loved sports, and, you know, I never played football, but I really enjoy watching it. I feel like I understand the game real well, and it's just a fun hobby for me.
Well, that hobby has turned into quite the big part of your life. You say you do more and more drafts every year. Mike, how many drafts have you done already this season, as we have not hit September yet?
And be honest.
And how many more do you plan on doing before the start of the season?
Okay, well, if you're counting DEs, I probably have got over 30 DEs alone, and then probably over 50 lineup leagues, but I split some of those. And then I will be doing probably nine leagues out in Vegas that I'll be doing. So I'm guessing between my local leagues, the high-stakes leagues, it's going to be probably, I mean, it's going to be quite a bit. So I have to split some because I just don't have enough time to do them all. Me and Kurt have a partnership, so we sort of work that out. But we spend a lot of our time on the big leagues, and we try to really concentrate on those. But surprisingly, I actually cut back on some FPCs this year, but I still did probably too many. But it's once I start playing, I just can't stop.
I'm convinced, Dave, that as we're talking to Mike Santos, Coyote Streakers here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, I don't think that there's a DE in existence that either one or all of these guys are in. Every DE that has gone off this year, either Wayne Ellis, Rich Dunn, or Mike Santos has been in it.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about Rich Dunn and the DEs, man.
Why?
He's done so many. It's like he wants to center the radar, I think.
Yeah, he might. Listen, as we're talking about all these different high stakes players, Mike, you've run into your share of guys that you know that you really like hanging out with and drafting with. But you've also run into some guys like, oh man, I don't want him cutting up and destroying my draft tonight. What's one player of each? A guy that you really have fun with drafting, and a guy that you know has a good chance of bumping you up when you get in there.
Well, I mean, it's so hard to narrow it down to one. I mean, there's so many good players, and there's a lot of guys I really enjoy competing against. I mean, I would say these guys are good players, and I actually really enjoy being in leagues with them or competing with them. Lance, sports betting man, every time I'm in a league with him, I mean, he's the life of the party. He's good in the chat room. You know, I like being in drafts with him. He spices things up. My buddy Kurt, we used to compete against each other. I really enjoyed competing against him. Now we pretty much partner on a lot of stuff. Guys that I still like them, but I don't like seeing them in the league as well. You know, you got guys like Chad. I mean, they're consistently winning in everything they're in. You know, he's in a lot of leagues as well, so I tend to see his name in quite a few leagues we compete against each other. Wayne Ellis, a great competitor. He's a great DE player. I really respect Wayne. He puts a lot of time and effort into his spreadsheets. Personally, I think it's overkill, but Wayne, you do a good job, so I can't knock you. David Hubbard, I mean, he's probably in every league that was ever invented this year. I think I've seen his name in every single league I've ever been in. Billy Waz, he's a good owner. I competed against him in a couple main events. I got him one year, and he got me the next, so he's a good competitor. And there's a couple more I want to mention. Dave Martino, I think this guy goes a little under the radar. You don't hear a lot about him, but his name's Maurice Chris, I think his team name is, and I always see him at the top of the leaderboard, and I really respect Dave. We shoot texts back and forth every once in a while.
And oh, Mike, you actually text people? I've never noticed.
Yeah, I guess I have a little network that I text and call a lot of people, and I just like bouncing ideas off people. And, you know, I feel like if you got people out there that are really passionate like you, you can benefit from, you know, talking with other guys and, you know, see what their angle is and what they're thinking. And a lot of times I have really different opinions on players with even great players, you know, great fantasy players. They have different opinions. It's the way it works, you know, but you like to know if you're missing something or if you're looking at it the wrong way. But I typically, you know, just like to go with my own opinion, but it's good to know what's out there. And the last guy I wanted to mention was Joe Conte as a DE player. I've seen him win quite a few DEs, and we've competed in the past against each other in DEs, and I really respect all those guys that I mentioned.
Yeah, it's interesting. Every time I ask this question, everybody always says, "Oh, Chad." You know, I really respect Chad.
I don't respect Chad at all.
Hold on.
Mark it down, Chad. I hope you're listening, buddy.
What Chad are you talking about? Because my point is nobody ever says his last name.
That's the thing. He's like a first name guy.
He's like the Cher of high-stakes fantasy football. He doesn't even have a last name. He just goes by Chad.
You know why I can rip on Chad here on the show?
Why?
Because he's drafting right now.
I don't have to worry about it. That is true.
I can't believe Santos took the night off.
Yeah, it is weird. We want to thank you, Mike, for taking the night off of drafting. Unless you probably have like a Matrix-like computer set up right now. Doing your drafts while you're talking to us.
I actually contemplated doing a draft while I was doing the interview, but I thought maybe I'll just hold off for tonight.
So the addiction is not that bad. Listen, Mike, we already read your rap sheet here. Back-to-back varsity 3K champion. You're the 5K big payback champion. All these league title appearances and league championship wins. You're obviously very accomplished in the industry. What's one thing or the most important thing that any high-stakes player needs to have control of or know in order to draft not just a good team but a dominant team?
Well, I think there's a couple things, and I think you have to know how to construct a team. And I think a lot of people fall into this trap of just looking at a single pick during a draft. To me, I try to visualize the whole draft board and the whole rounds preceding what I'm doing. I try to envision what will be there 2, 3, 4 rounds later. And I don't always make a pick that I necessarily think is the best pick at the moment, but for team construction, I always try to build a team that I'll be most happy with at the end of the draft. Because it's fine if you draft a player you like better at this point, but if your team construction doesn't end up the way it should, your team as a whole isn't as good. And the concept is to score as many points as you can as a team, not as an individual player. So I try to read the board, and I try to read the team construction, and I think that's a big, big thing that I try to concentrate on. I think a lot of people, they get narrow-minded and only look at the certain pick that they're on, whereas I try to look at the whole big picture. And I think another thing is you have to sort of evaluate players and the talent and the opportunity. And I think a lot of times guys, in my opinion, they overthink things. They try to complicate things. I tend to look at what the coaches and the general managers of the NFL, what they do and say, and you try to read the tea leaves. And you get a gauge on how the players will be used. Instead of trying to be a scout yourself, which I don't think any of us are, you know, we don't have the tools that these guys do. We haven't done it our whole lives. We just watch the game on television and we read reports. You have to sort of take that quote or little nugget of information that you get from the coach or the player or the general manager, and you have to sort of apply it. And I've always been a huge advocate of talent and opportunity. If a player has talent and opportunity, that's a recipe for success. And a lot of times you'll see a mediocre player that doesn't have as much talent, but if he has opportunity, he still will produce. There's been many years where guys at the end of the year break out and lead teams to championships just because of sheer opportunity. So if you put opportunity and talent together, that's what you're looking for. And I try to always draft players on teams that have reliable offenses. There's certain offenses that I cross off my list right when I start the draft. I will not draft certain offenses. They're off my board unless, obviously, it's tremendous value. But you have to know the teams and the players and the situations they're in. I think, you know, those three points are probably what I would concentrate on.
All right,
sorry
so
for being long-winded there.
No, that was good. That was good stuff. But we're going to probe a little bit now, so relax.
Give us three awful offenses that are off your board, baby.
I pretty much am crossing off every Jet, every Arizona Cardinal. Those are two for sure, and I'm very close to crossing off every Cleveland Brown.
All right.
That's interesting. We're sitting here talking with Mike Santos of Coyote Streakers here in the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. It's 28 minutes past the top of the hour. I'm Eric Wilson. He's Dave Gerzak. The Lost fans of the show Lost, are going to get this next reference.
Oh, good. I won't then.
Yeah, you can relax for a couple minutes. Mike Santos. Mike, did you watch Lost? Did you ever watch Lost when it was on the air?
I watched the first season, and I sort of just gave up on it.
Okay, so that's unfortunate, because the character I was about to bring up was huge in season two. But Mike Santos is the Ben Linus of Lost. What Ben Linus does is he's always thinking 3 or 4 moves ahead of everybody else. And not only is he thinking that far ahead, he's making other people do stuff that he wants them to do, but he makes them think it's their idea. That's what Mike Santos does when he drafts.
Very sharp.
He's setting everybody else up, and they're like, oh, okay, so Santos did that there. Okay, well, I'm going to take Roddy White here. That's what Santos wants you to do. That's what he wants you to do, and he's making it think like it's your original idea. Not, folks. He's controlling the draft even before you even realize what hit you. Mike, the other thing, too, that you've kind of spawned on the show, really our first catchphrase of the show was the Santos maneuver. The Santos maneuver, for those of you who are uninitiated, is when you deliberately mislead people because you're concerned with them understanding what tendencies you have in fantasy football. Maybe you like a certain player, dislike a certain player. Maybe you don't want anybody knowing anything about your strategy that year. That's Mike Santos. Mike, can we say this? He's drafted under names other than Mike Santos before.
He has?
He has generic team names.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. This is all rumors and hearsay. This is what I've heard.
I cannot affirm that. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, well, it's all rumors and hearsay, but I'm going to address it. It's similar to Jim Rome asking David Stern if the lottery's fixed, I'm going to ask Mike Santos. Mike, what spawned this? Have you been sniped on guys that you wanted and maybe had Oliver Stone-like conspiracy theory that these guys actually knew what you wanted to do? Why do you want to be so incognito? Why are you so protective of your methods?
Well, I guess it sort of dates back to my local league days, drafting with my buddies in high school and stuff. I sort of started having good success, winning the leagues and doing really well every year. And we always did an auction, and I always found that like every guy I liked or bid on, or you know, I would get bid up or sniped. Guys would be afraid to trade. So I sort of got it in my head that like, man, I got to figure out a way to hide guys I like, because this is getting annoying. So I started, drafting with FPC and other events, and I played in some leagues, but I really ramped up the amount of leagues I did in the last few years, and I kept seeing the same guys in the leagues, and I started thinking to myself, this is probably not a good idea to have my real name on every draft I draft, because when I go to Vegas for the big drafts, they're just going to go back and look and see, well, he took this guy quite a few times in the late rounds, or he did this at this round. And it sort of just became like a paranoia thing, like in a way. So I just sort of thought, hey, this would be funny to have, a fake name. So I told Dave, or I forget who it was, like, hey, put me as like whoever, made a funny name up, and it was sort of funny. And I was like, I think I'm going to do this every time. So it just sort of became a running joke, and now I just sign up as phony names, and I guess the rest is history.
Yeah, once in a while, Santos, he'll text me, be like, hey, throw me into this draft. Because Chris has like his credit card info on,
right?
So he'll be like, just throw me into this draft. So like, I gave him like a name, Call Me Maybe, Pedro Gonzalez. You know what I mean?
Percival Van Arbison.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like you just think of the craziest names you can for you. You gotta have it be someone. It'd be like Dan Hickson or something like that, where it sounds like a normal guy.
Unbelievable. So if you're drafting
and see Dan Hickson,
or somebody like that, and you don't really know who it is, could be Mike Santos.
If the draft is good,
exactly. Mike, you've done your drafts already. You've obviously seen some trends in what these high stakes and mid stakes players are doing. What are you seeing as positions that maybe are being over or under drafted, or maybe specific players that are rising or falling right now that's kind of taken you aback, or stuff that you really didn't see coming?
Well, in FPC, these drafts, they tend to be all over the board, and there's not really a consensus. Like, one draft can be a running back draft, and the next can be a receiver or tight end draft. It just all depends on the players you have. I do notice that, like, the running backs that are the flavor of the week that might have the job or might be the next starter, they tend to move up a round or two right away in that draft. Or if, like, a preseason game is going and a guy scores a touchdown, you'll notice he'll get drafted, like, a couple rounds earlier than he normally would. And I'm, like, thinking to myself, did he get credit for that touchdown for week one? Was I missing something? But those are the guys that sort of moved up. And I noticed Matt Ryan, he started out probably like an eighth, ninth rounder early on. And he's moved up quite a bit, into the sixth, fifth round area. So he's moved up quite a bit at quarterback. Obviously, Julio Jones, he went from, mid to late third rounder. Now he's consistently going in the, top 15, 16 picks, from what I've seen. So he's moved up quite a bit. The guys that have fallen a little bit is like Tony Romo and Michael Vick. They've actually fallen down a round or two from where they were originally being drafted. And I think part of that is people are a little nervous about Dallas' O-line and the shoddy preseason, and Michael Vick, obviously, the injury concerns. those are just a couple guys that I've noticed moving up and down.
Yeah, it's all the Julio disciples that are making Matt Ryan go up right now. Listen, Mike, we got a couple of emails here that I want to read to you from listeners. This first one's from Ocala, Florida. This is Max, and he writes, "Greetings, Coyote Streaker. Congrats on all of your success."
Streaker?
Yeah, Coyote Streaker.
Streakers.
Yeah, but he says Streaker because Mike is only one. I don't call you. Hey, it's the Dave Gerzaks.
Yeah, if my team name was...
By the way, a great band for you to start. Dave Gerzak and the Dave Gerzak. Double up back.
But his name, well, whatever.
Yeah, I understand. Well, take it up with Max. Don't shoot the messenger.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, he writes, "Congrats on all of your success in the HSFF industry. You certainly deserve all you get. I wanted to know what your take is on the Dallas receivers this season. Dez looks ready to blow up, but with Miles Austin's plexiglass hamstrings and Jason Witten's diced up spleen, is there any fantasy gold to mine between Kevin Ogletree, Dwayne Harris, Cole Beasley, your boy Dave, or Danny Cole? Thanks, Mike." That's Max in Ocala, Florida.
Hey,
what are you looking at me like that?
Don't
for?
Talk about Cole Beasley in the public.
It's Max wanted to know, so I just bring it up.
I'm just happy he made the squad.
What do you say, Mike? I mean, let's not look at this from a DE standpoint and just talk about the FFPC main event. Are any of those four other receivers between Ogletree, Harris, Beasley, and Cole draftable for you?
Yeah, I think the guy I would probably draft would be Ogletree. He's got starting receiver size, and you saw what Laurent Robinson did as a number three last year in Dallas. He had a really good year, and if anything happens to Austin, I think Ogletree would be the natural fit to slide in. I wouldn't be in a hurry to take him, but if I did take Miles Austin, I probably would make a conscious effort to take Ogletree later, after round 15 or so, maybe even later. You sort of hedge that bet with Austin and his hamstring. I think Ogletree does have the number three job, but, it does seem a little dicey at this point, but that's who I would put my money on.
So there you go, Max. He likes Ogletree. Next one, and actually last one I have for you, Mike. Nolan in Columbia, Missouri writes, "Sir Santos." Oh, should it be Sirs Santos and not Sir Santos?
It should be Sir Santo.
Sir Santo? Yeah. Okay, Sir Santo. I have been targeting Benson a lot in the 8th and 9th round of my basement leagues. It's catching on, Dave. Basement leagues back home. But when I head out to Vegas for the FFPC, I feel like I may have to reach to get him. I think he's in line for a 1,200-yard, 8-touchdown season, so I really want him as my RB3. Where will I have to draft him at the Rio?
And then I will add, and do you agree with his assertion?
Oh, 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, what do you think about
it? Yeah, so we'll make it a two-part question. Mike, what round, let's say you are going to take Benson out there, you're married to it, what round do you have to take him in order to get him? And do you think he's a 1,200-yard, 8-touchdown back this year?
I'll answer the first question. If you have to have him, you'll probably need to take him by the 8th round. I've seen him go in the 7th, but to me that's early. 8th, I think, is a better gamble. You probably got a good chance to get him. So if you have to have him, 8th round, probably. I mean, if you really, really had to have him, maybe 7th. Personally, I do not see a 1,200-yard rushing back. I think that offense, they just throw so much, and I still believe it could be part committee. Benson has shown well in the preseason, and I do like him if you're waiting on running backs and you've loaded up on receivers and you feel real good about your RB1, RB2. I would probably be okay as a RB3 or 4, but I would prefer him as a 4, and I would feel more comfortable in the 8th, 9th round versus the 7th where he could go.
His name is Mike Santos. He's live on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour here with Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak in the Carl's Jr. Studios. We're coming up on 22 minutes until the top of the hour. Mike, I want to get into the questions we ask all of our guests. First one is, you're bold, we're sold. I want you to state your case for one storyline coming out of training camps in the preseason that's going to have a big impact on the 2012 fantasy season. Something that not a lot of people are talking about, but something that that you think is going to play into what happens in the FFPC main event and how leagues are won.
I sort of wrote this down, and I don't know how bold it is, but I do not believe Cam Newton will be a top 7 quarterback this year.
Wow, that is bold.
I shouldn't have taken him in that one draft in Kentucky.
Did you take Cam Newton?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
That was stupid.
Mike, what's your rationale for not? Because he's being drafted essentially as the the number 4 or 5 quarterback, depending upon how you fall on the Matt Stafford thing. But he's being drafted pretty high. Why won't he be a number 7 quarterback this year?
My personal belief is the rushing touchdown total, which was crazy last year. He scored so many rushing touchdowns. I think he's going to regress on that, and that alone will make a huge difference. I'm also not sold on him as a passer, per se, in the NFL. I know he's got the physical tools, but I just think there's a regression, and it's not so much a knock on Cam Newton as there's so many other quality quarterbacks out there. I just can see a number of guys finishing ahead of him, and it would not surprise me, whereas, you know, Michael Vick, in you know, a couple years ago, he scored, was it like 10 rushing touchdowns, and the next year he scored zero. I think those rushing quarterbacks, they're dicey. You know, they need those rushing touchdowns, and if they don't get them, it really hurts their value, because I don't see Cam Newton throwing 30, 35 touchdowns. You know, he's going to make his points rushing the ball, and I think he's going to regress. That's what it comes down to, and I think the league's become a passing league, and there's so many quality offenses with good quarterbacks, I could easily see them falling out.
So if you follow Mike Santos, you will probably not see Cam Newton on any of his teams this year, given where you have to take him. All right, for the Coyote Streaker, here it is. It's time for the Coyote to spill his guts.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
I think it's time to spill the beans, boy.
The time has come to talk.
Let's have it.
We know you know, and you know we know you know, and we know you know we know you know.
Spill your guts.
Jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you. And I'm wondering,
Mike, we need, this is, you can't bust a Santos maneuver on us like Danny Mueller did. Really the only one who's ever successfully done it to us on this show. But I need one sleeper that you love this year and one player that you wouldn't draft with even my team.
Okay, well, you know, I might even give you a couple just to be a nice guy.
Oh, I love.
I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you a few guys at quarterback. You know, they're sleepers, not guys that I'll have on all my teams, but I'll have them on some. But I do like them as sleepers. Christian Ponder, Jake Locker, and Russell Wilson. I think those guys are great, you know, late-round sleepers that can outperform. For running back, I'll give you a couple running backs. I actually like Vic Ballard, Robert Turbin, Tywan Jones. I think those guys are
deep sleeper types.
Yeah, those are deep sleepers. I want to give some sleepers, not obvious guys. We can name
right.
obvious, but I want to name some
deep
guys. And a couple receivers that I might have as like a sleeper guy is maybe like a Jonathan Baldwin or an Alshon Jeffrey. The reason why I like Jeffrey a little bit is if something happened to Marshall, you know, he's that big physical receiver, might become the go-to guy. You know, he's probably going to need an injury for that to happen, but, you know, a nice talented stash away kind of guy, so...
I love it, Mike. This is good stuff. What about guys, let's say, you know, guys who are maybe going post fourth or fifth round that, I mean, you already said Cam Newton, but another guy maybe that will not find his way in any of your teams this year.
I'm almost 100% positive I will not own Sean Green, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, Robert Meacham. Probably will not own Trent Richardson on too many teams unless the value is good.
Right.
I mean they're good players for where you know if you get them in the right spot. But I just probably will not own those guys. Not saying they're bad players, just probably will not own them.
For the Green Ellis thing, is it because of the lack of pass catching? Is that why you're staying away from those two?
Yeah, I mean it's funny because Green and Green Ellis, I mean they have the job. They're the workhorse. You know, people would argue that's reason alone to take them, but. They're just the kind of players that I won't draft, I won't go down with because I don't like them. And I think the limited pass-catching ability, the offenses I'm not thrilled with, they're just probably not the type of guys I want. And I think Green Ellis was more of a product of New England scoring all those touchdowns. I just don't consider him a special back or a special talent. And I tend to draft guys that have talent.
That's a good rule to follow, Dave. You only draft guys with talent.
I agree with that
it's
one.
It's a good rule to follow. Listen, you can follow him on Twitter, at Coyote Streakers. He has no less than usually five or six conversations going on with people about fantasy football. So if you plan on tapping into the mind of Mike Santos, and I don't even think that Mike is really all that forthcoming on Twitter, but he asks questions of people who will be forthcoming.
Yeah, you know, he's like It's like one of those investigative reporters that gets you to tell all the information that you want.
Woodward, Bernstein, and Santos.
And he's very, exactly. It's crazy. And it's like he never seems like he's trying to do it. Hey, what do you think of this guy? And he always tells the truth, man.
That's great. Mike Santos is an awesome guy. And he was awesome for coming on the show tonight on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Listen, Mike, we're going to see you out in Vegas. We'll party it up out there. And listen, good luck this season. Really want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys having me on. I really had fun, and we'll see you guys in Vegas. Should be a lot of fun.
See you in Vegas. We will, Mr. Santos. Sir Santos, as one of the emailers.
I kind
of
like that name.
I like that. Sir Santos should be a team name, but you know what? He'd never go for it because everybody know it him be.
Yeah, that's true.
So there you go. Mike Santos from Coyote Streakers. He'll be out in Las Vegas. You can pick his brain. You can watch him pick the brains of everybody else when we get out there later this week. Moving on to our next part of the program, it's time for Fantasy Feedback.
If you've got a question for Eric Dave or tonight's guest, send them a tweet at HSFFHour on Twitter. Email the show at HighStakesFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Post it in the chat room during the broadcast. Tag your tweet with HSFF or just smack Eric in the head. That's HighStakesFantasyFootball@gmail.com or at HSFF Hour on Twitter.
Dave, thanks to our number one Twitter fan, although he would not call himself a fan of the show. At GSF Ron, good old Two Packers in the chat room. What's up, Two Packer? He sent us a few tweets. We're going to play a new game this week. He invented it. Called Stud or Stone. All right. Okay. He's sent us all these different positions. I'll start off with quarterback. I'm gonna name a player. You tell me if he's a stud or stone this year, taking in his ADP and perceived value.
Oh, you did a really good job of.
Sorry,
it's gonna be a real game. It's gonna be a great game.
It's not even my game. Let's start with quarterback. Stud or
I feel like you're really down from that.
I am.
Sorry.
It's awful. You just killed my self esteem. Stud or stone? Cam Newton.
Oh, this is for me.
For you, and I will answer. It's sort of like a would you rather.
It sucks because I took Newton, but I would say Stone based on where he's drafted.
And Mike Santos would also agree. Drew Brees.
I know, are we talking about relative ADP value or just in general?
Exactly. You're talking about output and you're talking about ADP value.
Stone for me.
And I also say Stone. You got to take Drew Brees too high. Philip Rivers.
Stone.
Total Stone, even though he can get him later. I just don't like him this year. I don't like his schedule. I don't like his playoff schedule.
At Jets, at Pittsburgh, weeks 14 and 16. That makes me want to. And see, right there, that's Santos texting us right there.
With your road trip, text me.
I know, that's so annoying. I do it to annoy my wife.
Last one, Joe Flacco.
I'm going to go with stud based on where he's drafting. I really like what I'm seeing with him in preseason.
I was blown away by where we could get him in Kentucky, where you could get him in Kentucky, and I got a bunch of teams. I really like him. Running the no huddle, throwing it up to Torrey Smith.
In a contract year, they wouldn't sign him to long term, and I think they got rid of the unibrow. I think he actually got an eyebrow wax.
I can't confirm
that. He's still not good looking or anything.
I haven't texted Joe Flacco's personal beautician in a couple of weeks, so I don't know that. He moves on to running backs. Kevin Smith, stud or stone?
Does GSF, is that his picture?
That's his picture, yeah. Do you like it?
It's not bad.
Very professional, I think. Way more professional than my Twitter picture was.
Oh, that's good. So who is it?
Kevin Smith, running back, Detroit Lions. Maybe you've heard of him.
Yeah. You know, I used to think he was a stud. I'm going to go stone now.
I'm going to say stud. Too much upside for me to turn that down. I'll tell you, upside is like it's all about you want to win 200K, baby? Team upside. Kevin Smith is officially on team upside.
Yeah, team upside for me is LeSure in the 11. That's upside.
That's not upside. I don't like him. Donald Brown.
I would have to say stud.
Yep.
Sure.
Total stud. Total stud. Cedric Benson.
He's really dicey for me.
Dicey, isn't he a stone?
Guess so. Stone,
I mean, you can't be a dicey stud.
Yeah, stone.
I say stud. I still foresee better things than in the same way I'm down on Russell Wilson compared to how you are. Apparently, I'm up on Cedric.
Yeah, and I was down on Russell Wilson when he got drafted.
Everybody remembers. Everybody downloaded that show.
I'm sure. All 47.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, stud or stone?
Oh, stone.
Total
for sure.
Stone, doesn't catch any pass. I agree. And I like Bernard Scott, which I think could take away touches. And last one, Willis McGahee.
I kind of like him as a stud in being where he's drafted, given the offense.
I agree. great number two running back. Totally happy with that if I have draft like three receivers before, or even four receivers. So
I wouldn't say great.
I would. And that's the difference between me and you. Wide receiver, Larry Fitzgerald.
Stone.
I'm going to say Stone, too. Again, like, John Skelton gets named quarterback, a starting quarterback today. Does nothing to his value. Does nothing to improve it.
He's been going, he's really been dropping to that. You know, he's been going after, I've seen him go after Julio and Marshall in number
two. I let him go at the 211 in one of the drafts in Kentucky.
Yeah, well.
So there you go. AJ Green.
Stud.
I will say, I'm going to say Stone because, granted, you can get him value in some drafts, but most of the time, you have to take him in that early second, mid second. There's too many other guys. I like Roddy better than him. I'd rather have Julio better than him. I like Brandon Marshall better than AJ Green. So I'd take all those guys ahead of
I don't know about early to mid second, like late second, early third.
Okay. Julio Jones.
You know, I still say stud.
I do too, baby.
Yeah, see, whatever. You were totally sandbagging.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, man. There's no Julio Kool-Aid left. Kool-Aid, as it were. And then Brandon Marshall, I think I just gave away my feelings on him there.
Yeah, I'd go stud with Marshall, too. I feel really good about him.
He's going to catch 200 passes this year. He's going to hit first.
200.
First
could you imagine that?
No, I can't imagine that. Honestly, I can't imagine. What would that be? What would that break down? How many catches would that be?
It would be 200.
No, I mean, like, per game. Like, well, that'd be like 12? Almost 13 a game, right?
Yeah, something like
that. Oh, my God. That'd be awesome.
Him.
Finally, if you own him, which I will, and I have, and I will, and I do. Tight ends, Jason Witten.
I would go stud with him he's really fallen like a rock. He's dropped like a stone, and he's actually still stud status.
Yes, he's dropped like a stone, and he's achieved stud status.
Yep.
Sort of like a diamond in many ways. Jermichael Finley.
Oh, man. Finley. It really depends. I mean, if you get him in like the, you know.
Well, let's qualify this. Third or fourth round, Jermichael Finley.
In FFPC, I would say he's stone.
Okay, and sixth round.
Yeah, then he's a stud. You know what I mean?
That sixth round, man. I'm telling you, you get him, he's a stud. He's going at the turn last year in the first, second round. It just is crazy to me. And then finally, Antonio Gates.
I put him as stud status, and I know a lot of the guys that we were, you know, a lot of our group doesn't like him, but I like him.
I do too. I'm still going to say stone, though. That playoff schedule scares me, so I'm going to stay away from him. I missed one. Brent Celek, stud or stone?
I just don't like Celek this year for some reason, so I'm going to go stone.
I can't get on board with Brent Celek either. I also agree, stone. As if GSF Ron did not get enough airtime on this this last segment, we're going to give him a little bit more. He tweeted us at HSFF Hour. He has the 4 pick in the FFPC main event, and he's contemplating taking Darren McFadden there, assuming McCoy, Rice, Foster go top 3. He says he's not sure if Stafford can last the season in that offensive line, and running back dries up faster than wide receiver. So what do you think? Darren McFadden at number 4, yes or no? Or as he says, yay or nay?
I would say yay. I'm fine with McFadden at 4. I mean, the only real risk you have with McFadden is injury, and I know he's been injured and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But, conversely, if he does not get injured, he will have a fantastic season.
I mean, you can put in these terms, too. Like, would you rather have, a Calvin Trent Richardson team, or would you rather have a Darren McFadden, Roddy White team?
Yeah, probably a Darren McFadden, Roddy
White. I would probably go that, and obviously, you know, that's a little bit a loaded question, a loaded scenario, another bulky loaded scenario. But I think that is the way to go there. I would still personally take Calvin over McFadden, but if McFadden hits and he is like a top 3 running back, dude, you're going to win some serious cash.
Yep.
As long as you didn't screw up your draft.
Absolutely.
Which I don't think 2 Packer would do. We're coming up on 7 minutes left in the show here. I'm going to pound through as many emails as we can. This is from Nathan in Syracuse. Dear Eric and Dave, I guess the show is awful when Rob or the real Leroy doesn't produce it, eh? Just kidding. I don't know if he's Canadian or what. Canadian part of Syracuse. Just kidding. I enjoyed live on I-65, what I could hear of it. Anyway, I'm going to say we apologize for those audio issues, but they've been corrected, and we have an announcement coming up at the end of the show. He's in a slow draft right now and am dialed in with my top 4 backs, DeMarco, Charles, S. Jackson, Ridley. What do you guys think about adding David Wilson or Chris Rainey to the mix? He can start up to 4 running backs per week. That's Nathan in Syracuse, New York. I'm going to let you think about that, but I'm going to say my feelings on it. I think, number one, I think David Wilson is a fantastic number 5 running back, and I go as far to say that you will not get him as your number 5 running back, given that DJ Ware got cut today. And a big thing that DJ Ware brought to the Giants is that great pass blocking. Apparently they have that kind of faith in David Wilson to not get Super Bowl MVP Eli Manning killed. I am all in on David Wilson this year. You heard Glenn Lowy come on this show and say what a big fan of David Wilson he was this year. Chris Rainey is a little bit dicier because I think his value is going up right now, given how good he's looked in the preseason and Pittsburgh being unsettled at running back. I really think that if you can get him in like the 15th, 16th round, that's a fantastic number six running back. And if you're taking your sixth running back in the 16th round, you're going to be all set in your backfield. I think he'd be a fine guy to add. Basically, anything after the 16th round is an awesome value on Chris Rainey because he's a guy who could be electric and could really make or break your team this year. So those are our feelings on that, Nathan. One final email I want to get to here from Albert in Decatur, Illinois. Yo, fantasy flagship. Did you happen to catch Woody Johnson's comment on Tim Tebow? If he's serious, isn't Mark Sanchez a wasted pick in drafts this year? By the way, love the show. Are you guys going to go to daily shows once the season starts? My workout needs a kick more than just once per week. It's from Albert in Decatur, Illinois. Let me tell you one thing right now. We are not going to daily shows once the NFL season starts. That's just simply not in our DNA. We don't have enough time to bore you guys for 7 hours a week or 5 hours a week. We just can't do it.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, we can't do that, so that will not happen. But listen, download our show 5 times. Listen to the same one. I think that's a great idea. You want more Balky and Dave in your life? That's the way to do it. Woody Johnson's comment on Tim Tebow. Dave, I'm not sure if you saw this, but somebody asked him about the quarterback play in New York, and he said, you can never have enough Tim Tebow. I'm telling you, man, handwriting's on the wall, man. Mark Sanchez is as good as gone after this year. They'll find somebody to trade him away to, somebody who's desperate for a quarterback. Woody Johnson's all in on Tim Tebow. I'm staying away from that situation. And like Mike Sanders said, I'm avoiding all Jets this year.
How old is Woody Johnson? I mean, is he actually senile? Has he seen that he completes like 40% of his passes, and he couldn't even lead a game-winning drive against fourth-string people in that preseason game the last week?
Right, but he can do it against first-stringers in the fourth quarter. And quite frankly, that's all that matters.
That's arguable. Again, going back to last year, Tebow in Denver, they were playing the biggest host of cupcakes I've ever seen that when he was leading those comebacks. Right. He should never have been down so much in the first place.
That is actually, above dispute.
Yeah, thank you.
That is above dispute, Dave. So there you go. One other thing I wanted to get to, Tupacker in the chat wanted to know what our take on Dexter McCluster is this year. I think you and I have varying analyses on this. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, you know what? I like McCluster because of the fact that I think he's going to actually play that slot receiver position. I think he can catch 50 to 55 passes maybe in that neighborhood, maybe 5 to 6 touchdowns, 700 yards. But what's really interesting is that he is classified as a running back. And, there's nothing that can be done about that. He's a running back on the NFL.com depth charts. So if you're looking for a running back, that you can start in a pinch, Cluster's a guy you can get in the 12th, 13th, 14th round.
Right.
Or later.
I will disagree with that. I'm going to say that I am staying away from a Cluster. If you watch that Packers-Chiefs preseason game, you saw a lot of Peyton Hillis. You saw a lot of Jamal Charles. That is what their offense is going to be this year. The coach has already come out and said, look, we want to get 250 touches each for these guys. 500 touches between Hillis and Charles. Their number one receiver is Dwayne Bowe. You heard Mike Santos talk about how Jonathan Baldwin is a sleeper this year. That's their number two receiver. I really don't think that there's going to be enough fantasy goodness to go around there in Kansas City. I am staying away from the Cluster. There you have it. I am going to forego Shocks and Locks this week because we're running low on time, and we got to preview what's coming up next week on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. We are going to be in Las Vegas. We are leaving on Tuesday the 4th, and we will be broadcasting next week at a special time, 4 p.m. Central. So what would that be? That would be 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Vegas time. What?
We're not doing it at 2 p.m. Vegas time. We're doing it at 4 p.m. Pacific. 4
p.m.? Okay, 4 p.m. Pacific.
6 Central, so 7 Eastern.
7 Eastern.
Yep.
So we'll be going on 3 hours earlier than normal.
And that's Thursday.
And that is Thursday. We'll not be on a Friday because we are going to be very busy. So that is what's going on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. We'll be broadcasting.
The FFPC, Player Appreciation
FFPC,
Party.
Yep, which is held at
Rio, the Amazon Ballroom.
The Amazon Ballroom in the Rio. We're going to have a lot of great interviews coming up on that show. Just basically, if you want to be on the show next week, show up to the Player Appreciation Party that is hosted by
Lenny and Chris.
Lenny Papano, Chris Lambert hosting it. Show up early to that, and we'll see if we can get you on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, and we'll just talk fantasy for a little bit. Dave will be there. Producer of The Real Leroy will be there. Everybody's going to be there. Anybody who's anybody will be there.
Exactly.
So that is what we're looking forward to next week coming up on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Roadshow Vegas Baby is what we're calling it. So what do you think about that name? It's not as catchy as Live on I-65, but I think it's pretty solid.
Yeah, well, at least
Vegas
we'll have the
Roadshow.
At least we'll have the good microphone.
We will. The Yeti came through tonight.
The Yeti.
I'm not really getting any complaints in the chat room about about what it sounded like, but it sounds like it went over really well. We had a big hit, big success tonight. Big Cut is our comeback show, Dave.
Yeah, this was so great.
From all the audio issues we had on the live on I-65 show, and then we were at the Horseshoe Casino. So I want to thank The Real Leroy for producing our show tonight. Bang up job, Real Leroy. Want to thank Mike Santos, Coyote Streakers, for coming on. Was a great interview. Glad he was able to come on. Red versus Blue, Scott Atkins, Mike Trent, coming up next. Top of the hour here, ladies and gentlemen. It's about ready to start. For Dave Gierzak, I'm Eric Walsman. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you from Vegas next week, Thursday.
See you in Vegas.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com that was broadcast live and heard around the world. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week.